John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome to Starting It Up. It's so nice to have all of you around the kitchen table with us today, and I'm just so happy that you chose us in your busy life to spend an hour or so just talking about things we love, especially good food. Great food. Yes. At the kitchen table right now with us, of course, Michelle York, our executive producer. How are you doing, Michelle?
Very well, thank you.
Doing good?
Mm-hmm.
And next to her, our historian and archivist, Shirley Sands. How are you doing, Shirley?
I'm great, John, and you?
Good. You ready for the big show? We got a platter. Platter full of finger sandwiches in the center of the table here, mm-hmm. So I'm not sure exactly what that's about. A couple of different varieties.
You're going to find out. You're going to be surprised. Yeah.
And then trying to get through the glass wall to the sandwiches, of course, David McLaughlin, you know, mm-hmm. our engineer. How you doing, David?
Doing good. Is there any roast beef over there?
Yeah, it looks like a little... I'm assuming that's how it could be chocolate, but it looks like beef to me. Anyway, again, y'all, so nice to have you with us. And I don't know if you have a subscription, Michelle, to a Savoir magazine. Do you?
For years now, that
Shirley,
is truly my favorite.
Shirley,
I certainly
Savoir.
Do.
So
mm-hmm.
in other words, y'all, David Savoir magazine. David shaking his head. Yeah, I got a Savoir. So in other words, everybody has Savoir magazine.
Do you have a subscription?
I have my own subscription. In fact, just to make sure I get it here at the studio. And I get it at home. I have mm-hmm. two copies. One comes here, so that's probably the
that's
one
mine.
That Michelle.
That's mine.
Yeah.
We need them in many places.
Well anyway, Savoir is one of our favorite magazines,
right.
One of our favorite food magazines. There's great ones out there that we subscribe to, but Savoir always has these interesting regional stories, right? I mean, that's what makes Savoir really different is they dig deep to find the gems of food, whether it's international, local, regional, it doesn't matter, right?
That's right. It's not just a couple of paragraphs about a topic. It's not just a gloss over it. It's truly an in-depth look, whether they're talking about markets or sandwiches.
Oh, sandwich, that's exactly right. Well, mm-hmm. talking about sandwiches, I bet you'll remember, I think it was the month of, it might have been May, but I think April or so, because I held on to that magazine for a while. I think it was the April issue, that they highlighted the whole magazine to something that truly is one of my loves, and that is sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Sandwiches. You know, you think of sandwiches as just a simple something that you get when you have nothing else. I'll make a sandwich.
Yeah.
What do you feel like eating tonight? I think I'll get an egg salad sandwich.
You know, and we kind of don't honor the sandwich. We don't give it its due because it is kind of ordinary and you just slap something together, you do it fast. We don't really pay the homage to a sandwich
should. And the sad part about it is that just about every city, every town, every country is known for some great sandwich that you're going
right.
to get only there. In fact, you might not know that Philly mm-hmm. is normally referred to as Sandwich City.
Sandwich City?
Philadelphia, absolutely. Sandwich City, and I, whenever I'm in Philadelphia, or even Pittsburgh for that reason, and I think it's because, you know what, I think so many Italians, I think
yeah.
so many meat markets, the old mm-hmm. iron workers, I mean, you know, they needed that big, hefty piece of bread and meat mm-hmm. to go with those Boilermaker shots of beer and whiskey that they did after the shifts. You know, so I think Philly probably had a great reputation for sandwiches. Of course, New Orleans is a city all its own when it comes
sure.
to our sandwiches. I couldn't help but reflect on all of the wonderful sandwiches, hot and cold, that I've eaten in my life, and of course many of them right here in Louisiana. Think of the muffalata, you know.
One of my very favorite sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. I know, hot or cold. Hot or cold, absolutely. In 1906, it was Lupo Salvatore. A Sicilian immigrant and owner of the very famous, now world famous, Central Grocery Store right there in Decatur. You can't walk by it without going in.
Oh, I love that store.
Right there in Decatur, across from the French Market, you know, across from that.
Mm-hmm.
They began combining ham and salami and cheese and olive salad, which is a brand all its own of carrots and all different kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. and a nice olive oil and vinegar base, and bread that was purchased by the workers of the community and brought into one large sandwich sandwich that was wrapped in paper and easy to transport and, of course, could be divided and shared because it was so big, if you wanted to, I mean.
Yeah, you didn't have to share, even today.
But, y'all, I guess the rest is history. Right? Mm-hmm. Now the muffalata is world famous. But you know, before I get ahead of myself in the story, sandwiches, where did they come from anyway, and why that name? Well, some people define the sandwich, you know, as two slices of bread, usually buttered, with a filling of meat, cheese, vegetables today, you know, the
kind of a nonchalant description.
Doesn't have to begin or end with anything, you know, it's just a definition that makes it real easy, and of course you can put whatever fillings you want on. Right off the top of my head, I have a few favorite sandwiches.
Yeah, well, I'm shocked.
The BLT, you know, one of my all-time favorites. I love a good BLT, especially when I can think of nothing else to eat. BLT kind of comes up to the top because it's all about comfort. It's all about bacon. Mm-hmm. It's all about lettuce and fresh tomatoes, especially in season.
Especially in season. There's nothing like a BLT with fresh Creole tomatoes.
Nothing. Of course, except...
homegrown.
Except, of course, a good grilled cheese that's thrown with the right cheese, especially on a cheese company like I do. I can have varieties of grilled cheese sandwiches. The muffalata, of course, the Monte Cristo, which most people think of as an upscale sandwich wearing a tuxedo, so to speak. pastrami on rye and hoagies and, back to Philadelphia, the cheesesteak. One of my favorite, the Dagwood. You know what a Dagwood is.
Yeah.
A Dagwood is clean the refrigerator.
Mile high.
I love a good Dagwood. And then, of course, there's just the ham and cheese. And when I was over in Asia, one of my favorite was the latte. And the latte was an Asian sandwich that was made with ice cream, 4 or 5 scoops of ice cream on top of a piece of bread that was baked and colored in multicolors. It was a child's sandwich. It was an ice cream sandwich.
Oh.
The latte. And they had like 4 different kinds of ice cream. It's kind of like what you would think of a banana split without the banana and nuts and whipped cream, but just on a colored bread.
Mm-hmm.
What about lobster rolls?
Oh, lobster rolls.
What about one of my favorite when I was working in the boilers at St. James Sugar Co-op during my summer job, the sardine sandwich. Just right out the can with the olive oil all over your hand and you smell like sardines all day and everybody knew you had a good lunch.
Everybody knew whether they wanted to or not.
That's true.
Whether they wanted to know what you ate.
Don't you even go there. What about the Schmitter? You ever heard of Schmitter? Schmitter, one of my favorite sandwiches.
I don't believe I've ever eaten a Schmitter.
Well, it's named after a Philadelphia beer.
Mm.
Absolutely. It's a great sandwich. It's steak and cheese and fried onion rings piled high on it. Grilled salami on top of that. And then you squeeze a whole bunch of Thousand Island dressing on top of that. That's a Schmitter. And you have to have a Schmitter beer to go with. Y'all, I could go on and on. I won't even mention the hamburger and the numerous varieties I have of it.
Mm-hmm.
But how's it named anyway? A lot of people in the fourth Earl of Sandwich, John Montagu, is credited, I guess, with creating the sandwich because he didn't want to leave a gambling table one night. And I don't know if this story is true or not. Montagu had made a number of visits to the Eastern Mediterranean while in Greece and Turkey. He saw pita bread just filled with all different kind of things. And he recognized that there was a value to that kind of food. And I guess on his particular night, he decided to slice a piece of prime rib or something and put it between 2 pieces of bread and made a very easy and popular food that became a sandwich. So a lot of people think the Earl of Sandwich created a sandwich. In fact, the idea of the sandwich goes back much, much earlier than that. The first recorded sandwich was the Hillel sandwich, named after the first century rabbi, Hillel the Elder, and was a mixture of chopped nuts and apples and spices and wine to dip in. That was the sauce. Eaten between 2 pieces of matzah, and it was eaten with bitter herbs during a Passover meal. And throughout the Middle Ages, we have records of our open-faced sandwiches with thick blocks of coarse, stale bread called trenchers that were used as plates, and other foods were eaten on top of that trencher with the fingers. And, of course, the trencher would soak up all the juices of the meat and, well, like like, again, prime rib with an au jus would go on top of that. That's where the French dip came from, and got it real wet by wetting the bread and the juices. And then you just pile up anything you want on top of it. Often, of course, the trencher itself was eaten, and then that became more of the sandwich. In the 16th and 17th century, there's a number of references to what must have been sandwiches in the writing of Shakespeare. Thomas Haygood and George Peel each write about bread and meat, bread and cheese, and a peddler called the Bread and Meat Man, they write about. So, well, it had to be a sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. Introduced to America by the English woman Elizabeth Leslie in her 1840 cookbook, Directions for Cookery, Leslie gives her recipe for what else? A ham sandwich. A good ham sandwich. But it really wasn't until 1928, y'all, with the ability to buy sliced loaves of bread in a bakery and grocery, that the sandwiches really became a popular food for the working crowd at lunch. And today, y'all, that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about sandwiches. We want to talk about some of our favorite sandwiches. We certainly have a great guest. Mm-hmm. Michelle, I'm sure you're going to give us some tidbits of interest about a sandwich, right?
Well, you know, it just so happens, looking through my issue of Savour.
Oh, your issue of Savour, right?
Yeah. The Reuben.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about who is Reuben?
Well, it had to be named after the guy Reuben up in New York.
Well, there's still some controversy over it.
Well, of course there
there's
is.
There's always controversy over good food.
The muffalata was originally called the false, and now but anyway.
Right. The Reuben. There's debate over whether Reuben Kulafoski, a grocer from Omaha, created the Reuben, or Arnold Reuben, who actually had a restaurant in New Orleans in the early 1900s. Arnold Reuben, I thought this was really interesting. In his restaurant, he was known for creating honorific sandwiches.
Honorific.
Honorific.
That's it.
So there was the Al Jolson, which consisted of raw meat, raw egg, chopped onion. There was the Frank Sinatra, cream cheese, barley duke, currant jelly, tongue, sweet pickle, and Milton Berle, cream cheese, turkey, and barley duke. Apparently, barley duke
was
a bit...
It
was very popular. It was the posh thing at the time. It was very much in vogue.
Well, y'all, there's always debate about where the sandwich came from, but one thing for sure, we all love them, and we're going to talk about them today.
Dogs, even pasty hippies, mine is hard to beat a tube of meat, but now a question hits me. What the has in a hot dog? I shouldn't as may be, 'cause I don't know any animal that grows cylindrically. So have a hot dog on me, my friend. It's made out of animal odds and ends. Have a hot dog on me, my friend. It's the
hi, I'm Pete Bergeron. If your day starts early, like mine does, let's spend it together with Cajun music from 5 to 7 a.m. here at Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Of blue and hair of gold, I was the only new kid in the school. I sat there all alone until you came along. You gave me a wink and a ham sandwich, and with every bite I took, all I had to do was look to see your eyes of love look back at me. And with each and every bite, a new share our lives, and all we need is our love and a ham sandwich. Play it now. Oh, yeah.
right, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best-tasting show on radio. And today, of course, we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, sandwiches. And, Michelle, I forgot to mention that that we had two specialty sandwiches at the Falls House. We had the Vienna sausage sandwich.
Vienna sausage. Okay.
Folded over in white bread with mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
And then we had cream of Vienna sausage. Cream of Vienna, that was potted meat.
Potted meat.
Yeah, that's when company came, we had the cream of Vienna sausage. It was really wonderful. We used to love to do that. Oh, was it good. Anyway, y'all, today again, we're talking about sandwiches, and there's no question about it that here in Louisiana, we have, you know, between the muffalotti and the po' boy, I mean, there's no argument. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the great sandwiches. And it was in 1929 when the Streetcar Union Division 194 went on strike that it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
The strike lasted for several months, and the striking workers had very little money to survive on. So two brothers, Benny and Clovis Martin, who themselves were former streetcar operators, were the owners of Martin Brothers Restaurant. They decided to help their friends on the picket line. So they fed them sandwiches made of 1 pound loaves of French bread, cut into three and filled with a mixture of sliced ham and cheese and lettuce and tomatoes and pickles and mayonnaise. These sandwiches were fed to all of the men free of charge. As the men came into the restaurant, they would say, "Here comes another one of those po' boys." And so the po' boy became a part of New Orleans cuisine. And Michelle, we have a guy with us today who's absolutely one of our best friends when it comes to a great sandwich, right?
Yes, indeed. We're so very lucky to have with us a good friend, Don Rodasta. Don and his brothers, Wayne and Mark, own Rodasta's Restaurant, Deli and Catering on Iris Avenue
in New Orleans. Absolutely one of the best, mm-hmm. if not the best po' boy place in town.
Well, you know, if we just go ahead and open ourselves to confession right here. Remember a couple of years ago,
we went on a quest. We went on a quest to find the best roast beef po' boy in the world, remember?
We did, and we started at Rodasta's, and we could have stopped right there.
We could have stopped right there.
In fact, we ate so much, we should have stopped right there. But we kept going. But yes, absolutely the best roast beef po' boy that day. So, Don, welcome to Stirring It Up. It's so great to have
you on
the show.
Hello, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Don, we miss you. How you doing?
Don't make me laugh. We are doing fabulous. How are y'all doing?
Good. We just told all of our listeners just now that there's no doubt about it. When we think of roast beef po' boys, now, of course, you have all of the great po' boys, but when you talk about a roast beef po' boy, they can stop right there at your shop.
If I remember that day, I was your first stop.
That's right. You were my first stop, and I went to about seven of them that day, and let me tell you,
you had a bunch more stops to go.
That's right. And at 4 o'clock that afternoon, when we were heading back toward the airport, Michelle and I looked at each other with pain in our face, and we said, we should have just stopped at the first one.
So, how's everything going, okay?
Everything's going good. How's business with you all over there? Everything's going well?
Being summertime, we are very busy. Very lucky. Very busy.
That is good. That's a blessing.
Business never let up hardly at all. Maybe 2-4-5% the most, but we are very blessed.
Well, y'all, and you deserve it. Y'all have a fabulous place. It's a lot of fun to be in there. I mean, y'all, and first of all, just the hospitality that y'all show your customers when you walk
and
in.
And the
just
entertainment.
And the entertainment. These guys are great, y'all.
People come there for the entertainment, I swear.
I know.
From the kitchen, John, where you at?
That's right.
I need this. People crack up, but it's just my nature.
Y'all a lot of fun over there.
Well, tell us about the family business, because y'all have been in business for what, about 36 years now?
We've been on Iris in Old Mary, June 1st, 1975, but we grew up in a grocery business. My grandma had a grocery on Olive and Eagle off of South Calton behind the old Cleveland Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy had a store on Calton and Claiborne across from Palmer Park for 27 years. And we grew up very fortunate, I want to say. We grew up in the best family business in the world. We was delivering groceries on a big bicycles with a big basket. We grew up, my oldest brother, Jerry, Wayne, Dale, and me, the four oldest. And we just grew up in a great business.
Yeah, y'all absolutely did. Now, the Rodasta family, your family originate?
My family came from Palermo.
From Palermo.
Yeah.
Now, whenever I ask the Italians, the Sicilians in New Orleans where they came from, they always say we came from Palermo because the port was there. That was the city you grew up in?
No, I was born in New Orleans.
My
grandpa and his brother, Uncle Jerome, they both came over from Palermo at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The tower.
Now, y'all were in the grocery business to begin with. What drove y'all into the sandwich business?
Oh, let me tell you this. We grew up in the grocery business. We had the finest clientele in New Orleans, you can imagine. As years went by, 30 years went by, 40 years went by, all our beautiful clientele started to die off, and you couldn't replace those people. You couldn't replace that kind of clientele. And one year went by, we threw out our aisle of groceries. And another year went by, we threw out another aisle of groceries. So we used to just do hot roast beef and just, you know, cold cuts, you know, just ham and cheese, turkey, you know, lunch and meat. Just, put, you know, olive loaf, salami. And then we just built the kitchen. I guess about, what, 15, 18 years ago? Maybe a little longer. And that's how we got, that's how we got started.
Not in the,
we had to go to plan B because, well, I was running out of options.
Yeah. Now is that, Don, was that in the same location that you're in right now?
Yes.
Right there on the corner.
It was a full-fledged grocery store there for about, 18 years.
I visualize the store sitting right there on that street, and it looks like exactly what you would think an old Italian grocery store would look like. And
I could have customers come in there every day. I used to deliver groceries to them. Now they come in and eat lunch, dinner. We're not open for dinner. We close at 6. But people come in there. I used to deliver groceries to their houses 20 years ago, and they still come in there
Now, Don, you know, one of the things that's always impressed me about the Italian or the Sicilian community, I should say, in New Orleans is the unbelievable family work ethic. You know, I mean, the whole family comes together to work. And I think I'm not sure, but did I meet your mom when I was in that line?
My mom was there. Let me tell you, and you know this, Italian families are, to me, close-knit. If it wasn't my mom, my brother Wayne, my brother Mark, we've been working together 30-something years. How many people can say that they did that?
No, that's exactly right. It's hard enough to live next to your cousin, let alone work 30 years with the whole family.
Shoot, or have 30 minutes on Christmas.
So many family members, it's a family feud. They can't work together.
You can see the fun y'all have. It's a hard business. It's a tough business. But you know what? The thing I love about Radasta's is that y'all really know how to make the whole environment a lot of fun, and you engage the customer, and the customer feels good about being there. It's really great.
My wife, Joan, I don't know if you met Joan.
I
couldn't make it without Joan. Look, she knows every single person's name, their kids' names, their daughters who walks through the door. Oh, hello, Joe. Hello, Susan. I said, Joan, who's that? I'm always in the kitchen because I'm terrible with names. Joan, who's that? I got to go tell them hello. Sit down. That's her. So she knows. She's incredible. I don't know how she does it. But Joan is fun too, Bart.
We were saying that when we went into your place, we had the roast beef, po' boy. But share with us all the varieties that you have, because you have quite a selection.
Let me tell you. Our number one seller by a mile is roast beef. Always was. Our roast beef's number one by a mile.
It is. It's number one, period. Forget the mile.
Yeah, you know, we have customers that go out, try other places, and I love competition. They go to places, try them out. They say, no comparison. They come right back. But we have so many. We got over 40 kinds of pole bars.
40 pole bars.
Oh, we got more than 40. Here's a few. The roast. Well, you know the roast beef. The number two seller is a beautiful fried shrimp. Okay.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Number four is. But I came up with a new one about a year ago. I call it the Cajun delight.
That sounds good. What's on that?
I just dream up. It's on a pole bar. 4 crawfish patties. Fried green tomatoes, homemade remoulade sauce, romaine lettuce, and green onions.
Man, you should have called that the John Falls.
I just dream up. We have so many kinds. We got the Grand Slam. We got the Angela Special. The Jones Special. That's a big seller. The grilled shrimp, the sauteed in butter, herbs, spices, and white wine. Mm-hmm. That's probably number 5 bestseller.
Oh, my God.
People just don't know what to get. But most people get the same exact thing.
Now, you know, that's very interesting that people come in with all the varieties you have. But you know what? I know that because y'all invited me into the kitchen. You know, being a cook, y'all were very generous to allow me to come into the kitchen. And when I was going to be asked to be invited. I wasn't going to just take over, Michelle. But you know what? When you opened up that big pot of roast beef sitting there waiting to go, and lunch hadn't started yet.
Yes, he was early that day.
We were early.
It was the most unbelievable thing to see the preparation before the storm, because y'all were going to get hit with the biggest lunch business, but yet y'all were generous to let me come back there and see it. And Michelle, remember I said the French bread is piled to the ceiling, remember?
Yeah.
Wayne's, the sole roast beef seed maker. We ain't been doing that for 30 years.
Well, no use messing with perfection.
Everybody's got their niche. Mark does his thing. I do my thing. Everybody's got their own thing to do.
What about the bread? Same bread,
no matter what sandwich? We use La Louisiana from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Well, you have great bread, too. Wow, you have great.
Original French bakers from France. What we used to use?
Probably Liedheim.
Alois Bendit.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Bendit is a very nice guy, but when Katrina put him out of business for almost a year, I think, we had to find another baker. But he still comes around, you know. But for years we used up. But La Louisiana is doing us a hell of a job.
Well, La Louisiana, that's a good company. No, and now let me ask you something. When I think of the roast beef, I mean, I could eat a plate of roast beef by itself.
Exactly.
But is the po' boy about the bread or is it about the meat?
I think both.
See that? I almost stumped.
Most customers are so picky about the bread, but the ingredients is more important, I think.
Well, I think what you said, both are very important, but
it's a 50-50 situation, if you ask me.
Yeah, right.
Because most people like Leinheimer's bread, most people like Gindis's bread, some people swear by Leinheimer.
Right.
Everybody's got their own preference, but I'm very happy with La Louisiana.
Now, look, do y'all make your own, a lot of your own sauces or stuff that go on the bread? I know the ketchup and mayonnaise and stuff like that, but do you make a lot of your own stuff in house as well that dress the breads?
90%, 99%. Oh, yeah, let me go a step further. Every single thing on these po' boys is homemade.
From the
Italian sausage, the hot sausage, the meatballs, the tuna salad, the egg salad, chicken salad. Whatever's made that you could make that don't come out of a box, we make it. You have to. We make rumble sauce. We make the red gravies. We make the roast beef gravy. We make whatever you can make, nothing comes out of the jar, I promise you.
Look, the proof is always in the pudding, no doubt about that.
That's right. When people come in and order their sandwiches, do they order other things to go along with it, like soups or chips, or what do people do?
Now, during the summer, don't laugh at this. During the summer, you can't give away soup.
Well, that's understandable.
During the winter, we make three or four different soups a week. Wayne helps me with the soup, so I help Wayne. Wayne comes up with all these soup recipes at the dive bar. He's got about 300 cookbooks. We made some fantastic soups past winter, but gumbo sells every day, but not like winter, but gumbo is awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the soups in the winter, we can't keep soup. We make definitely three kinds every single week, or four, sometimes five kinds, sometimes one a day, but that's in the winter time.
It's interesting that the number one po' boy that y'all sell is the roast beef, not because I have a doubt that it's so flavorful, but when you think of po' boys in New Orleans, and if you just ask somebody on the street, tell me a New Orleans po' boy, the first thing I think they're going to say is an oyster po' boy, oyster loaf.
I think that was 20, 30 years ago.
I see.
Today, if you ask me, anybody comes in town, it's a roast beef, I think shrimp and oyster second and third.
Now, Don, does anybody ever do what we did, come in, we were just trying to figure out for our radio show, for our television, or writing a book or whatever, where we would go to find the real icons of po' boys? And, of course, y'all were our first stop. But do y'all ever get people in, as you say, that come around just testing one to another and then find their favorite?
We had a couple people came in a few months ago, was testing po' boys. And they didn't want to give it up much information, you know. I didn't ask, but I tried to help them the best I can. Like one of them made him a big old shrimp po' boy, you know, in the house, and they tasted it. Then we go and sample some other restaurants, and I said, okay. And I never heard from them, you know. They never came back. But
well, I can guarantee you one thing: it wasn't because of the sandwich.
I tell you this little story.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Our customers, they grew up in grammar school, high school, Jesuit, Country Day. They all go out of town for college, you know. Wherever at Michigan, Texas, when they go back to college that summer, they come here, take 10, 15 po' boys to the airport. when they come back home, they don't go home first. They come to Redondo to get po' boys. Then they go home.
Smart kids. Yeah.
They grew up in grammar school. Now they, you know, early 30s. They just come by us. It's amazing. It's really funny.
Now, Don, you know, every city around the United States has a sandwich. Or every one of them has a Philadelphia. We're talking about the Philly steak sandwich or whatever. It doesn't matter. Every city has something they're famous for in a sandwich. But what sets New Orleans apart with the po' boy, you think?
I think just the ingredients and the taste. I really do. I mean, just the spices we use for one.
Yeah.
We just went to Boston on vacation about 4 weeks ago. It was great, but it wasn't New Orleans food. Edible food.
Did you go eat at Legal Seafood?
Where?
Legal Seafood. Did you go to sandwich over there?
No.
They may not have been open when he was there. They hadn't been open just 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, we went to this, we went to Wednesday steak. Joan and our sister had to have lobster. I don't eat lobster. I got me some grilled asparagus and a vodka on the rocks.
Now you see, here's a Louisiana po' boy icon maker right here. He goes to Boston. What do you eat? Grilled asparagus and vodka on the rocks. He said, "I'm not wasting my time."
Yeah,
well,
we have the sandwich too. Grilled asparagus, Swiss cheese, and bacon.
That sounds good.
What's your favorite po' boy?
My favorite po' boy is the Italian sausage with the olive salad mix and the melted provolone cheese.
Oh, man, I'm coming.
That is my favorite.
Look, in the next five, are y'all open on Saturday?
Open on Saturdays, 11 to 5.
11 to 5. Michelle?
I'm putting him in the phone.
Michelle, we going in the phone. We going to eat lunch over there. We're going to eat
it. I always kid my customers. This is true. I got one slogan in life, the three keys. Quick, quality, and quantity. I said, don't ever quote me on this quick stuff because sometimes it's not quick.
We appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. We really respect you so much for what the Rodosta family has done, and we're going to have y'all on the website. Give us your address real fast.
249 Aris, ARIS Avenue, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005.
We're gonna get you right there on the internet, and everybody can go to johnfalse@jfalse.com or our Facebook page, and y'all, you're going to find Rodosto. Don, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank y'all, both of y'all. Thank y'all so much. It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll see y'all later, and we'll be back in a minute, shall we?
Yeah.
Company, three's another instrument. In our three-way interplay on the Thistle and Shamrock this week, musicians weave melodies and rhythms together in an intoxicating blend. The combinations of strings, reeds, percussion and voice are yours to savor.
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
Avec Val. Tous les jeudis soirs à 9h sur KRVS, la radio Acadie. Et c'est formidable.
Quelle sensation!
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Quand des misères à réveiller le dimanche matin, Mais allume la radio avec moi, Louis Michaud, tous les dimanches matins, 7h jusqu'à 9h. On va charrer en français, écouter la musique en français et boire un petit tasse de café. Join me, Louis Michaud, if you have trouble waking up in the Sunday mornings. Just turn your radio to KRVS from 7 to 9 and hear me with Le Réveil, The Awakening en français.
To marry you, but that ain't the right thing for me to do. I don't love you, darling, can't you see? It's the toasted chicken sandwich and the big glass of sweet iced tea. See, all those nights I dated you at your home wasn't 'cause I didn't want to be alone. It's because of those great snacks you fixed for me, like the toasted chicken sandwich and a big glass of sweet iced tea.
Is that what you do, Michelle?
Big chicken sandwich.
Big chicken sandwich with a glass of sweet iced tea.
Do what you got to do.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up. And what a great guest, Don. The Radostas are just absolutely fantastic.
So
and
nice.
The good news is that you don't have to go all the way into New Orleans if you're coming from upstate or Baton Rouge area. You're going into New Orleans there, right in Metairie.
That's right.
In Metairie. You get off
right up Old Metairie Road.
Old Metairie Road. They're right there, Radostas, pole bars. You want to, and we're going to have all that on the website.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Sure.
Now, what about Facebook in there? How's our Facebook? You can find us, y'all, at Facebook.com, right, Michelle?
Yep, Facebook.com/Stirring It Up Radio.
What's going on Facebook for us over there? You know what we ought to ask them? We ought to ask our Facebook listeners to write in about a famous sandwich in their house that they create. Like I have one I'm going to give y'all in a little while. I'm going to give it as a recipe. Okay. I'm going to give away my favorite sandwich. So you got one?
Well, you know, my mom always ate this when I was little, and I didn't like it at the time, but now I do. Steen's cane syrup on bread with cheddar cheese.
Nah, that's a good one. I like that, too.
It was a good sandwich.
I like that, too. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, after Thanksgiving, to slice the leftover breast of turkey and put it on a piece of toasted bread with leftover ham, and you make a white sauce, just a nice white sauce that you would have with your broccoli and cauliflower casserole that you had for Thanksgiving, so you kept, and you put that on top of that ham and turkey and a little bit of cheese, and you put it under the broiler. You talk about good. Charlie, what's your best sandwich?
Oh, gosh. When I was a little girl and was really hungry, my mom would make me peanut butter and banana on toast.
Oh, you and Elvis Presley. David?
I love two slices of white bread, buttered, toasted just a little bit, with some pulled pork on it, and lots of sauce.
I like plain white bread slathered with thick and rich mayonnaise and two slices of Creole tomato with salt and pepper on it.
That's good, too.
That's enough of that. Let's ask our Facebook listeners for next week to send us their favorite, and we'll choose one winner.
All right. We'll do it.
So y'all go to Stirring It Up. There it is right there. Facebook.com/Stirring, S-T-I-R-R-I-N, It Up Radio, one word, and send it to us. No prize money or anything. But we might create that sandwich right here on air and pay homage to him.
That's right.
And sell it to Radosto and split the profits. All right. Well, y'all, today we're talking about sandwiches. And, Michelle, I think sometimes it's the simplest and, I guess, the practical things that can change history, as you know. At the turn of the 20th century, sandwiches were being made, but it was in, I guess, 1928. And, in fact, we just celebrated the 83rd birthday of this world-changing event. And that was the year that Otto Frederick Rawweeder, who was a jeweler living in Chillicothe, Missouri, who invented and was able to manufacture the first power-driven multi-blade bread slicer. It was a big old machine, y'all. It was 6 feet long, 5 foot tall. The machine would push the loaves through a series of blades that were spinning around, and that would slice it, and then pins would hold the loaves together until it would come out the other end and could be wrapped. And when running at full capacity, this big old machine could slice 4,000 loaves, I guess, every hour or so. And the loaves had to be, you know, up to about 18 inches long, which later defined basically what a bag of bread looks like. And our good buddy, Raw Weeder, you know, was a very wise man because he had already consulted, Michelle, with housewives in the neighborhood to see what thickness of bread they cut and sliced their own bread to and what was the most popular size. And they came up with slightly less than a half inch. Oh, yeah, the women.
Smart man.
Women, that's right. He checked with all the women who were making sandwiches. At first, he couldn't get the bakers to try the machine so that they could slice their own bread. But fortunately, a baker by the name of Marion Frank Bench from the Chillicothe Baking Company, baking company, was ready to give the slicer a try. And it was a big success. And over the next several months, his bread sales at the Chillicothe Baking Company increased 2,000%.
I bet you he was glad he took a risk.
Yeah, nobody wanted to fool that slicing of bread anymore. Quickly, Rod Weeder found himself taking thousands of orders for this machine across the country. When the Depression hit, he was forced to sell his patent, but we know just how successful his product was. After all, when we want to talk about a brilliant idea that somebody else had instead of us, what do we always say? It's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
That's right. That's what we do.
Michelle, you were talking about a couple of recipes?
Well, yeah, it's really interesting to look back at some of these old cookbooks. And we were searching for sandwich recipes, and really there aren't that many. In fact, I have perhaps the first recipe for a sandwich found in a cookbook, and it's in Direction for Cookery, Elizabeth Leslie's book from 1840 that you mentioned earlier. And I have to read this to you because it's just interesting. Cut some thin slices of bread very neatly, having slightly buttered them. And if you choose, spread on a very little mustard. Have ready some very thin slices of cold boiled ham and lay one between two slices of bread. You may either roll them up or lay them flat on the plates. They are used at supper or at luncheon. You may substitute for the ham cold smoked tongue, shred or grated.
That's a lot of work to say. Put some meat between two pieces of bread, y'all, and have at it. Huh?
That's right.
And have at it. That's right. And, you know, our good buddy Lafcadio O'Hearn,
absolutely,
who recorded some of the first recipes in the city of New Orleans.
Credited with recording the history of the beginning of Creole cookery
right.
in New Orleans. Lafcadio O'Hearn.
In his La Creole Cuisine, he has a section called Sandwiches of Various Kinds for Picnics. And he says, homemade bread cuts better for sandwiches than baker's bread. So if you wish the sandwiches very nice, it is better to make a loaf at home. For bread and butter sandwiches, cut the bread very thin, spread it evenly with sweet butter, and lay the buttered slices together. Lay them in circles on a plate and put parsley on top of them. Sandwiches may be made with cheese sliced and placed between the buttered bread, or with hard-boiled eggs sliced or chopped and put between. The best are made with boiled smoked tongue again, or ham with French mustard spread over the butter.
You know, it's amazing that two writers mentioned tongue in a sandwich because even though we're
smoked tongue,
even though we're not a big culture here in Louisiana of the tongue, most of the immigrants that did come over favor tongue, and especially in sandwiches. So you find a lot of the French, and certainly find a lot of the Jewish communities, and all love the tongue sandwiches. But even in our culinary school at Nichols State, whenever we do tongue, because we do cook it from time to time, all the students kind of back up against the wall when it's one of the, I mean, best known delicacies in the world is the tongue and the smoked tongue sandwiches. But and boy, you can see people, friends come in from out of state, and you go to a sandwich shop and they say, I think I'll get a tongue sandwich. I say, I think you won't. not here. But anyway, what about the special sauces that we dress sandwiches with? All the breads. I remember that Savoir magazine in that issue listed about 20 different breads that made great sandwiches. But yet at the same time, what about the sauces like the mayo and mustard that everybody has to have on a sandwich, or barbecue, or honey mustard, or one of my favorite new South American influences, the chimichurris and the pestos, the fresh greens that are mashed or cut with olive oils to create some nice coatings. And, of course, also the vegetable toppings like tomatoes and lettuce and onions and garlic and even French fries on one of my favorite sandwiches.
That's right.
In Philadelphia. And then there's the salad sandwiches he mentioned at Radasta's a minute ago, the egg salad and the chicken salad and the tuna salad. All of those are really unbelievable sandwiches. And think about all the breads, too. When you think of the black breads, the Kaiser rolls, the lobster rolls, the pumpernickels, the pitas, the sodas, the focaccias, you keep on the English muffins, the sesame seeded buns, the steam buns. I mean, we can just keep the po' boy bread, the muffalata breads, just on and on and on. That's what makes a sandwich interesting, and that's why from culture to culture it is so interesting.
That's what I was going to say, John. The breads, I think, are a perfect exemplar of what the magazine talked about, we've been talking about, is that sandwiches are can be so uniquely placed to a culture. So you've got the Russian black bread and the Irish soda bread and the English muffins and the challah and the Chinese steam. The breads themselves say, this is something that we made at home in Russia.
Right,
this is something we had in Poland or wherever, Italy or wherever it happens to be. They really are so unique.
Well, in pastrami, it's not pastrami if it's
That's
not
right.
on rye. You
That's
know?
True.
I mean, you just, you know, the pumpernickels
right.
with the salmon mm-hmm. and the sour cream. It's just not going to be a good sandwich, you know, because some people would never eat a smoked salmon sandwich if it wasn't on pumpernickel in these. Now,
right. Michelle, look at this. Isn't this beautiful? They could have made this into a poster.
Well, if this was a television show, maybe we could talk
about it. I'm looking at Savour magazine, but look at it. It's beautiful, this whole spread of the different breads that you were just talking about and a whole spread of all the different condiments. And some of them are just shocking, a little shocking to me because I never put blueberries on a sandwich.
Well, you never had a Creole cream cheese on a bun with blueberries on it.
No, I have not.
A dash of black pepper.
Gotta do it.
One of my favorite.
One of your favorites.
One of my favorite dinner dishes. Uh-huh.
Huh.
Absolutely. What about my favorite sandwich that I invented? Now, of course, I realize that our friends on Facebook are going to be sending me their favorite sandwich. But so far, the winner up to today is mine.
As you are.
Yeah, somebody.
Wait
else.
A minute. We gave good sandwiches.
Well, yeah, you gave good sandwiches. I gave unbelievably good sandwiches.
This
the one I'm going to
give. Good.
Michelle. So anyway, Facebook guys out there, we're looking for you to knock this sandwich off at the top because I want to try it. I love sandwiches. This is my pork comma brats and shrimp burger with caramelized onion relish.
That sounds good also.
Doesn't it? I know it.
Well, if people are tired of those old, crazy, boring sandwiches, I mean, this recipe is one that I created, and I'll tell you how I did it. I had some brats in the refrigerator, and I had some pork.
Uh-huh.
And I was just dying of something to eat one day, and I said, you know what? I don't normally make a hamburger with ground pork, but I have the brats right here, and maybe I'll just go ahead and mix all of those together. And then, lo and behold, I had about a half a cup of shrimp left in there. I said, I'm going to throw that in my little sandwich, too. And I mixed all the ground meat and the ground pork and the big... So anyway, and it came...
Did you chop up those shrimp?
I chopped them up, yeah.
I
chopped them up just like grinding the thing. And anyway, so it was really great. And you can put a little cheese on it, too. So anyway, for the burger, y'all, a pound of ground pork, one pack of the Johnsonville brats. I love the Johnsonville brats. And you can get the spicy brats as well. And then a half a pound of 70-90 count shrimp peeled and deveined, a half a pound. And you're going to have one 7.5-ounce can of the chipotle pepper and adobo sauce, which absolutely is important in this sandwich, the adobo sauce with the chipotles. And then you're going to have a tablespoon of the minced garlic, salt and pepper, and granulated garlic to taste. And what you're going to do is to take a bowl and you're going to throw the ground pork. Well, you're going to heat your pit up first, you know, according to manufacturer's directions. Then you're going to take the... ground pork and put it into the bowl, and you can put the shrimp in the Cuisinart and chop that around a little bit and, you know, kind of don't puree it, just chop it coarsely. So you can save a couple even whole pieces of shrimp if you want to. They look good in the burger. But throw the ground shrimp in with the ground pork, and then you're going to remove the skin from the brats, and you're going to break up the sausages, and you're going to put them in and just kind of coarsely chop all of that together with the side of a metal spoon. You don't want to work it too much with your fingers because you just extrude that protein and you make the sandwich tough. You make the meat tough. So use the side of your spoon. Just chop it and chop it and chop it until all that meat just kind of resembles a ground meat. So you got the pork, the brats, and the shrimp all well mixed together right there. Into that, I'm going to take that mixture of the adobo. You get it in a little can in the ethnic section of the store, mm-hmm. the chipotle and adobo sauce. And you're going to take three of those chipotle peppers out of the sauce that when you open the can and chop them real fine. And then about a tablespoon of that adobo sauce. Now, this is nice and hot and spicy and fully flavored, just beautifully flavored. And you're going to add that to the mix. Then you're going to add the minced garlic that I talked about. You're going to season with salt, pepper, granulated garlic, and you're going to roll them beautifully into some nice burger patties. And just absolutely fantastic. And then you're going to get them ready to go on to, and you're going to do them about 3/4 inch thick. And then to make the relish that that you have, you're going to go ahead and you're going to put into a skillet the caramelized, you're going to take two, I like the red onions, and you're going to slice them very, very thin, end up about eighth of an inch rings, about 1/4 cup of melted butter, and about 2 tablespoons of olive oil. You're going to put that in the skillet with the onions, and you're going to get that butter and olive oil nice and hot, and you're going to start to saute the onions until they wilt. And once they wilt, you're going to put a tablespoon of or two of Steen's cane syrup to sweeten it up, and just continue to cook it on a lower heat so they don't burn. You want to wilt them all the way down into a soft relish, but not brown, and you know they're gonna brown naturally with the beer. After that, you're gonna put 1 12-ounce bottle of Abita amber beer in it, and you're gonna reduce that beer all the way out just until the onions are full flavor with the beer and the syrup. Salt and pepper to taste. Throw those burgers on the pit. Go ahead and toast your buns a little bit, and go your lettuce, tomatoes. You put that meat on top. You put a spoon of that wonderful, wonderful caramelized onion relish with the beer and cane syrup. Oh, you lock the screen door, y'all. Lock the screen door. It's a wonderful dish. The recipe will be on our website, jfalls.com. Just go to the radio show Starting It Up, and y'all, make one of these burgers, please, and eat the sandwiches.
This is Helen Forster. We've got a really different E-Town for you this week. Indigo Girls and Nathaniel Rateliff join us, but there's a bit of intrigue.